Good afternoon and welcome, Mayflower family and friends far and wide. I'm joined in this sanctuary today of holy worship with Pastor Linda, Deanne, and Kim, who is our technician as always. Good Friday is a somber time with black color and death and dying in the air as we remember Christ and all of the obvious reasons for a somber spirit. But it does bring profound joy for its vibrant meaning in our lives, in our church, and in the world. And I want to thank each one of you for joining this service today. Let us worship.
When Jesus wept the falling tear and mercy flowed beyond all bounds, when Jesus wept, a trembling fear seized all the guilty world around.
Hear now these words from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm, and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening of a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs are all around me. A company of evildoers encircles me. My hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. From the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations rules, nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we gather at the foot of your cross to marvel at your love for us. We come to hear your words of forgiveness for our enemies. We come to hear your human heart breaking for our sake. We come to see the living God stoop to suffer our life and death that we might rise to eternal life with you. Be with us, Holy Lord, as we mark the miracle of time. Give us the courage to stand with you in your hour of suffering and death, that we may be with you in the power of your resurrection, both here and in the world to come. Amen.
From the book of John, chapter 18, verses 28 through 19, 17. Hear now these words. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." And this was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was going to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoning Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So, you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king, for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a bandit. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is your man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now, when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor. When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the stone pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now, it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha.
In each of the four gospel accounts, there are words that Jesus spoke as his last, and they have been grouped into seven. Today, we will be reading, remembering, and reflecting on the seven last words of Christ. Hear now the first word. From Luke 23, verses 32 through 34. Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing.
Oh,
From Luke 23, verses 39 to 43, hear now the second word. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Hear now the third word from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, the second part of verse 25, 25b through 27. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. From Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 33 and 34, we now hear the fourth word. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long way from home, a long way from home. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone, a long ways from home, a long ways from home.
From John's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 28 and 29, we hear now the fifth word. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth.
Thank you.
From John chapter 19, verse 30, we read the sixth word of our Lord. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 44 through 46, we read the seventh word. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last.
You that when the sun reveals
Let us pray. O God, on this day, when the very heart of God was broken, may it break our hearts that we again might be molded into the likeness of your Son. Amen. When Jesus was a child, he learned, listened, observed, and studied like any developing child would need to do. He learned by observation at his mother's side and in his father's carpenter shop. Most importantly, he went to the temple at an early age, even when his parents didn't know where he was. They found him among the teachers, asking questions and listening to them. He learned and memorized the scriptures, such as Psalm 86:5. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. When he taught, then, it is no surprise that he taught us to forgive others of their debts, to turn the other cheek, and to never put a numerical or time limit on forgiveness. When he died, it is no surprise then that he forgave his tormentors, but with the utmost degree of understanding and compassion when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." When Jesus lived and taught, he confounded his own Jewish religious leaders and teachers by including those who had never been included. He told us that he had other sheep that do not belong to this fold. He remembered scripture from Isaiah 49 that the Lord's salvation was to be a light to all the nations, and that salvation may reach to the end of the world. He noted that when 10 lepers were healed, only one of them came back to thank Jesus. And then he enthusiastically noted that that leper was a foreigner, a Samaritan. When he taught about what it meant to be neighborly, he reminded all of us that the neighborly one was, once again, the foreigner, the Samaritan, or should we say, the good Samaritan. And even his disciples were astonished that when Jesus encountered a woman who was a Samaritan, just sitting down to ask for a drink, it was business as usual for Jesus, and he just struck up a casual conversation. When he died then, it is no surprise that one who no one else would have included was included when, after a simple request to be remembered, Jesus said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." When Jesus was 12 years old, his parents couldn't find him and were naturally worried until 3 days later when they found him in the temple, learning. Worry turned into joy and admiration. Then Mary treasured all these things as only a mother could do. When Jesus died, in spite of what his mother did or did not know about what would happen later, he put that love on full display by saying from the cross, "Woman, here is your son." And as always, he extended that love infinitely to the larger community, in this case, to his beloved disciple, with whom he was trusting to care for his beloved mother, when he said, "Here is your mother." When Jesus was faced with the possibility and inevitability of his own death, he prayed for a deliverance, just like we would. In the midst of tortuous pain and humiliating brutality, he wondered where God was, just like we would. When he was dying, he prayed a prayer he had learned from the yearnings of the psalmist, just like we might. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When he lived and taught, and he was often hungry, sleep deprived, and exhausted
just like us. But he used that opportunity to eat with sinners, ask for a drink of water, and have a conversation with a foreign woman, and hang out with whoever offered him a place to stay. His humanity was on full display when, in his dying moment, he gasped, "I am thirsty." In so doing, he offers to us in the world the living water he has promised to give, with which we shall never thirst. When Jesus was born, the angels at God's command announced to the shepherds that joy was now coming to the world. When Jesus began his ministry, he began by reading from the scroll, proclaiming he had been sent to fulfill the prophecy given hundreds of years previously, but now realized. Good news to the poor, release to the captive, sight to the blind, and freedom for the oppressed. At first, those who heard spoke well of him and were amazed at his words. But when they began to question his credentials, he then spoke about his God-given mission, which threatened their leadership. Thus began the plot to kill him when they chased him out of town and he barely escaped. But in the face of hardship, intense opposition, and with resolve, he set out to accomplish his mission given to him by God. He fed, healed, and gave hope to those who otherwise had no hope. That includes me, and it also includes you. In spite of all the failures of his followers from time to time, I can hardly imagine a world that would exist without all the effort, energy, resources, and compassion offered by what has become and continues to be the greatest force for good the world has ever seen. That is, we're wide, yet it is quite local, because in my life right now, I cannot imagine it without my church family. Our hope of salvation in Christ gives witness and testimony to the validity of his words, having completed his mission when he died and said, "It is finished." When we were young, many of us learned a bedtime prayer. My mother taught me, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." When Jesus was young, very young perhaps, he learned a scriptural prayer, probably at the very tenderest age. When he died, he repeated that childlike prayer from Psalm 31:5. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Much in the same way that a child would lay their head on the pillow and say, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Commensurate with what he taught when he answered a question about who would be the greatest in the kingdom, he said, "Unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." It is reassuring to know that we have entrusted our salvation to the one who died just as he lived and taught. Our assurance on this Good Friday is that even when we are tired, thirsty, exhausted, despondent, pained, grieving, lonely, seemingly hopeless, or even dying, we will remember that we have been forgiven, loved, and included. Then we too, having completed our mission, can commend our spirits to God and hear the words, as did Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servants. Thanks be to God."
From John's Gospel, the 19th chapter. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because the Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified, so that you may also believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled, none of his bones shall be broken. And again, another passage of scripture says, they will look upon the one whom they pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of Jesus, though in secret one because of his fear of the Jews. Asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with spices and linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Now we go, in the grace of God, knowing that we have been forgiven, we have been loved, and we are included. Amen.